The unit treated the match as a lead that needed to survive every test. They set a plan on paper before the next move. The plan listed audits, repeats, outside checks, and legal steps. No one spoke in grand terms. They worked the list. The lab pulled extracts from storage and ran fresh controls with new lots. Analysts who had not touched the case before repeated key runs. Blanks stayed quiet. Positives read as expected. The unknown profiles rose in the same places with the same strength. A statistician outside the agency reviewed allele calls and peak heights. She signed a short letter that said the math and the method met the bar. Property staff traced every hand that touched each item from 1975 to the present. They read the ledger line by line. They checked signatures against images taken years earlier. Where ink had faded on a cover tag, the clerk pulled a scan and confirmed the shape of each initial. The sheet showed no gaps. A supervisor signed the audit. To rule out lab error, the team split blind samples and labeled them with study numbers not tied to the case. Two analysts processed them in separate rooms. Results matched again. The blind step kept pride from steering eyes. The lab logged the step and filed it with the packet that would go to the prosecutor. A prosecutor framed the standard in simple words. Would these results and this chain hold in court? He convened a small review. Two senior attorneys read the file and the lab packet. They asked about controls, independent repeats, and reference sources. They wrote a memo that found the proof strong enough to name both men and to explain the case status in public. Detectives tried to break their own route work. They drove new legs at odd hours and with different vehicles. They asked a second team to build the path without seeing the first map. The times landed within minutes of the first numbers. A third set walked the canal shoulder at dawn and tested sight lines from the road one more time. The bank still read as a short stop that needed noise more than cover. Interviews took a second pass with more distance from the press day. People spoke with less heat. A bus driver recalled that the broken neon letter on a storefront had been fixed by early July. That detail kept one van sighting in June. A neighbor confirmed the habit of a work van facing out near hedges on school days. No one produced a plate. The file did not overreach. Records staff searched microfilm for vehicle checks near US 27 during June. One light check entry aligned with a plate format tied to a trade fleet used by men in the circle of the named offenders. The entry lacked a driver name. It still offered a date and a place to weigh against time windows. The file marked it helpful and not decisive. Macro photos of the ribbed print on a shoulder went under new light. The lab printed transparent overlays with the measured pitch. Detectives laid those overlays on door panels pulled from period vans in a salvage yard. Several matched class features with intolerance. None proved a single vehicle. The lab wrote the limits in plain text next to the photos. The unit codified steps that had saved this case. Paper for fabric. Open shelving. Regular audits. Freeze extracts with logs. Independent repeats before any name leaves a room. The memo read like a checklist. It went to patrol, property, and the lab. It turned culture into habit. Letters went to agencies with unsolved files that shared even rough traits. The letters offered methods and a contact to trade notes. Some agencies asked for the lab packet. Some sent case summaries of their own. Most did not fit. A few earned a second look based on age, vehicle use, or a road near water. The unit named no links without proof. The team built an alternate view and tried to make it stand. Could a lone offender have moved both girls to the bank? Could a sedan fit the marks and the time? Could door ribs have come from some tool in a garage? The tests did not hold up. The set-down pattern argued for two. The sedan ran slow in practice. The rib pitch matched van panels more cleanly than tool surfaces. The alternate view failed with notes that showed where and why. A former co-worker of the second named man provided a photo of a work site with a white van in the frame. The grill showed a small nick on the right. The photo lacked a date stamp. The site signs in the background placed it within a year of the case window. The photo entered evidence with a receipt. The note called it supportive and not conclusive. Kinship analysts refreshed the tree that had led to the second profile. They checked obituaries, court filings, and address cards that had arrived after the first passes. The tree held. No new branch displaced the path that led to Lawrence Stein. The lab logged the refresh date and the sources used. The office documented the status as exceptionally cleared with both named offenders deceased. The file explained why that label fit. The proof met the threshold for charges if the men had been alive. The label did not end the duty to check tips. The memo set that duty in writing. Recruits sat in a classroom while the lab lead and the property supervisor spoke. The lead laid a garment on clean paper and showed how a low-angle light finds a band a camera might miss. The supervisor held up a bag and pointed to the seam where ink crossed paper. She said this is a promise that must survive years. The room went quiet and then wrote notes. The office met with the families again. The detective explained the audits and the outside reviews. He said the unit had tried to break the case and had not found a flaw. He said work on peripheral questions would continue. He asked if they wanted updates by phone or in person. They chose both. He wrote it down. A radio program asked for a walk through the process. The detective spoke about the canal, the box, and the lab in short lines. He did not narrate pain. He kept to dates and steps. He said the case had named two offenders by proof. He said the unit still sought records that showed where the men parked and who drove. The sheriff asked for a budget line to expand cold case, work with modern collection tools, and a part-time records researcher. The proposal tied dollars to steps that had worked. It did not promise headlines. It promised order and better odds. The unit wrote a note on privacy and consent. Family references for kinship work would use plain forms and clear limits. Samples would be destroyed when the test ended unless law or the donor asked for retention. The note went into the case file and into policy. The step fixed trust in writing. By the end of the audit cycle, the match had stood through repeats, new hands, blind splits, chain checks, and legal review. The file had proof that held and limits that stayed clear. The work turned from naming to filling blanks with records that time might still yield. Detectives built a stack of records on a table and set a simple aim. Find the vans. Prove who controlled them. Track where they went in June 1975. The board showed three lanes. Ownership. Service. Movement. Each lane took a box for sources. DMV files. Insurance cards. Tow slips. Shop invoices. Yard books. No one guessed. Every entry needed paper or a voice with a date. Archive staff pulled Florida registration microfilm for the mid-70s. Frame by frame, they read plate series, body types, and VIN blocks for full-size vans. A plate fragment from an old trooper log narrowed the field to a run used by work fleets. A printout listed owners with addresses inside a 30-mile ring of Hollywood. A retired clerk from a tag office explained how fleet plates cycled. She drew how renewals posted by batch. She named two local fleets that ran white vans with plain sides. Reliability note, strong on system, thin on any single plate. The note still trimmed the list. A salvage yard owner brought out a ledger with columns for make, color, and reason for scrap. One entry in late 1975 listed a white van with front damage and a note about a grill change. The yard card gave a seller name tied to a small trade shop. Detectives logged the entry and took a photo of the page with a scale. The ledger copy entered property under a voluntary receipt. The clerk signed the intake. The page went into a sleeve that allowed reading without touch. A digital scan landed in a read-only folder with timestamps. Garage lists chipped at the same question. Who touched door trim with deep ribs that year? One bay foreman remembered stacking boxes of ribbed panels for a model that painters liked because it hid scuffs. He kept an old parts book in a back office. The book showed rib pitch in millimeters. The macro photos from cloth matched that pitch range. Class feature only. Not a single van. The note held that limit in clean words. Insurance archives returned one claim for a van with a right grill nick near the era. The adjuster photo had faded. A stamp carried the month and a carrier code. The owner was a company, not a person. The company had closed. Its file still gave a manager name that crossed to the kinship tree for the first named man. The link read as context. It did not name a driver. A tow operator from the period kept a box of tickets in his attic. He found stubs for pulls off US 27. One stub showed a van towed near a cut north of the recovery point 3 weeks after the case window. The plate line was smudged. The time block matched known road work that month. He gave the box to the unit. His reliability sat high on dates, low on owners. A body shop along a feeder road still had a wall of old service stickers. One rectangle of clean paint marked where a sticker had been pulled years earlier. A faded stack of carbon copies sat in a drawer. A page listed a grill repair for a white van paid in cash. No owner name. The part number matched a make used by trade fleets then. The copy entered evidence with photos and a receipt. Phone directories and trade cards helped map shop moves. A sign shop changed address twice in 2 years and stayed on the same westbound path from Hollywood. Both named men had ties to that shop through short work stints. Payrolls did not survive. A union card did. The card placed one man on a job that ended in June. The address sat near the girl's side street. A gas station clerk who had returned to town found a drawer with a few register tapes from that summer. The tapes lacked plates and names. They still showed spikes at dusk on 3 dates that matched shifts from a nearby yard. The yard had run white vans. The clerk recalled a driver with a watch face big as a coin. He remembered hands stained by sealant. The note rated the tape high on rhythm, low on identity. Detectives walked lots where vans could wait without notice. Owners pointed out spots tight to hedges and walls. 2 lots matched the angles that let a passenger window sit near the sidewalk at the bench, then turn west without a long light. Cameras set at curb height showed how a driver could make eye contact without pulling close. The footage joined the route packet. A garage safe held metal stamp sets used to punch plates on parts during warranty work. The foreman said one make used a rib code on door liners in that era. Detectives compared code spacing to the macro print. The spacing sat within tolerance. Again, it was class feature only. The lab wrote the caution line in bold. Public records linked Lawrence Stein to a rental near a lot that stored fleet vans for a tile installer. Robert Keebler had listed a phone number that hit a stone yard 1 mile away in a reverse lookup. A city permit record showed both addresses active in June. The map tightened. It still refused to say who owned which van. A neighbor of the rental unit remembered 2 men loading rolls and buckets into a white van. He said they parked with the nose out. He remembered a small sticker low on the rear door. He could not read it. He pointed to the hedge that covered the side. Reliability note: fair on habit, clear on orientation, weak on date. Detectives asked a salvage owner to lift a van door from a shell to compare rib depth to the cloth print under new light. Depth and pitch matched the measured band. A nick on an old grill from the same yard matched the shape in a family photo. The yard could not prove the parts came from the same vehicle. The touches still formed a circle around what the lab had seen. A city dump scale book from 1975 survived in storage. One entry showed a van dumping construction waste the morning after a Saturday in June when no work permits were active at the shop that held the fleet. The entry gave a partial plate that fit the same series as the trooper log. The attendant had signed with initials only. The time fit the window for a morning after a late run. The note called it supportive and not decisive. A painter who rode as a helper then remembered driving west after deliveries to cool down before heading home. He named a partner who liked the long road. He remembered a door rib that caught a shoulder when he slid in fast. He remembered a grill nick that never quite polished out. He could not swear to days. He answered every follow-up. Reliability note: strong on habit, honest on gaps. Detectives tried to fix any plate to any van with clean certainty. They came up short. Too much time had passed. Plates had cycled. Shops had closed. They refused to force a line that the paper did not hold. What the paper did hold now sat in order. A trooper log fragment. A salvage book entry for a grill repair. A dump scale line with a partial plate. A service book with rib pitch. A photo with a van door near hedges and a grill nick. A tag office lesson on fleet cycles. Rental and shop addresses that overlapped routes known to both named men. None of this named a driver by itself. Together it placed the right vehicle class under the right hands in the right corridors at the right time. Every copied page and photo from these checks entered property with a receipt. Digital scans lived in a locked vault. The log showed who looked and when. The file did not lose track of a single scrap. The prosecutor wrote a short addendum that set weight on each item. High, medium, low. He tied each weight to a rule the office used for circumstantial support. He kept motive out of the text. He kept sequence out as well. He let the paper speak. Detectives sat with families and walked through the records. They did not claim wins they had not earned. They showed where a van could have waited. They showed why a plate had not survived. They named which items helped and which only set the scene. The last pass went back to the bench. Afternoon light on concrete. A hedge line that hides glass at a low angle. The arc from curb to side street. The road out. A white van fits that path clean. A sedan fits less well. The file closed this chapter with that plain contrast. The van never put its full plate in the record, yet its shape kept showing up in ledgers, yards, and voices. The next chapter moved inside the homes and schools to the hours that set two girls on a short walk that summer day. School let out into heat that held steady over the pavement. Bells rang. Doors opened. Students spilled into the light with books and folded notes. Barbara Schreiber and Darlene Zetterauer walked out together and turned toward the corner they always used. A teacher at the door saw them pass with easy pace and a small wave. They crossed two blocks at a speed that matched sidewalk talk. A neighbor watering plants watched them go by and nodded back when one girl said hello. She later fixed the moment by the start of a game show themed drifting from a living room. That cue set the time near late afternoon. At the corner bench they sat for a short spell. A store clerk saw them from his window while he sorted a stack of papers. He did not remember the minute. He did remember the benches were full earlier and quiet now. Their route from the bench usually led north along a side street with more shade. The day gave every reason to choose shade. Phones in both homes stayed quiet during that hour. No call came that changed the plan. A parent set plates on a table and checked the clock on the wall. That kitchen clock later helped set the early window for when the walk should have ended and did not. A barber sweeping his floor looked up at a white van idling outside and then back down at the hair on tile. He placed the sighting by a song on the radio that had held the afternoon charts for weeks. He remembered a long scratch along one side. A bus driver ran the loop and saw a white van with a dent low on a back door near the route more than once that week. She could not give a plate. She gave position and direction with confidence. The girls left the bench and turned north. A woman on a porch fixed the turn by where palm shadows fell across the walk. A boy on a bicycle rolled past and caught a friendly wave from a window of a vehicle moving slow. He remembered a purse strap over a shoulder and hair stuck to a cheek in the heat. He did not remember a plate. He remembered silence. No horn. No shout. Only a small gesture. No record placed the girls at any bus stop after that corner. Drivers who worked the line knew faces, not names. None could say the pair boarded. That absence pushed the route toward a short pickup from the curb, not an extended detour on foot. The house clocks marked the change from ordinary to wrong. A parent stepped to the porch and called down the block. A second call went a few minutes later. The loop around the nearest corners brought no answer. A car moved slowly along the side street, then back again. A neighbor joined and walked the same arc. The light had not yet faded when the first calls to friends went out. A call to police followed when the walk stretched past any normal delay. The report used plain words. Two girls overdue from a short route. Last seen at the corner bench. No argument at school. No plan to run. An officer reached the home and wrote the facts in tight lines. He did not add mood. He wrote what time the call came and what time he stood on the porch. Patrol units slid along the path from house to bench and back. A deputy stepped into the small store and asked if the clerk had seen the girls later than the first sighting. The clerk shook his head and pointed to the clock above the register. The time in his mind started to settle as the night moved in. The first canvas began while the sky still held late color. Officers knocked in pairs. They asked for times, directions, and car makes. They did not ask for theories. The board in the squad room gained three anchors for the final afternoon. The teacher at dismissal. The neighbor with the game show theme. The porch turned marked by shadows. By dusk, a van had become part of the talk. More than one person mentioned it. The descriptions matched in shape and in a few details. Plain sides. A dent low on a back door. A long scratch on one side. None of that named a driver. It did set the kind of vehicle that could idle near a curb, open a window, and offer a few words without drawing noise. Through the evening, officers checked the parks and school grounds. They walked behind shops and looked into lots where kids sometimes cut through. They called hospitals. They wrote each negative with the same care they gave to sightings. Absence needed a line in the file. Absence ruled out routes later. Back at home, a parent kept the porch light on and called another number. Friends came by and sat at the kitchen table. They repeated the short plan from the morning. See a friend. Walk home before dinner. They wrote a list of houses to call again. A detective arrived, sat at the table, and took the list. He promised to call even when there was no turn to share. Night passed without a sound from the girls. Morning came. A family drove out to the highway west of town to look along shoulders where people sometimes stop to fish. They pulled off near a canal when the boy in the back seat asked to watch dragonflies for a minute. They saw what the city had not expected to see. They backed away and called for help. The scene at the bank later set the frame for what the hours before had meant. No struggle on that slope. Set down ovals close together. Heel marks that faced opposite directions. The ground said the violence had occurred elsewhere. The hours before now had to hold both the last safe moments and the point where a vehicle and two offenders crossed paths with two girls on a short walk. Detectives built the timeline again with fresh eyes. They pinned the first anchor to dismissal. They pinned the second to the game show theme. They pinned the third to the porch shadow. They drew a line from the bench to the side street, and from there to feeder roads that run west. That line fit the window for a pickup that required minutes, not miles. They looked for any pushback against that line. They found none that held. A rumor from a teen about older boys fell apart under questions. A mall sighting lacked a date and a name and died at the counter where a clerk searched his memory and came up empty. A bus line offered no driver who remembered the pair boarding with passes or change. Phones in the homes made a different kind of record. Call logs from the night of the disappearance showed calls out to friends and neighbors, then to police, then to relatives out of town. Those logs set the hours when families moved from worry to action. They later helped a prosecutor address the question of delay. There had been no delay that mattered. The parents had acted as soon as a short route turned long. Detectives noted the girls' habits in those days. They walked together. They took the same corners. They stayed in daylight. They kept home rules. They did not accept rides from strangers. That set the problem in its true shape. The offenders used a vehicle and a manner that did not feel like a snatch from the start. A slow roll. A window open. A friendly wave. A short exchange. A van that moved the situation two steps at once. The unit gathered the small cues and turned them into minutes. A wave that matched the boy's memory fit a spot where a driver could idle with the passenger side toward the walk. A scratch that more than one person saw matched a panel that later showed itself in a photo. The dent low on a back door matched repairs recorded in a yard ledger. None of that wrote a final minute. Together they framed the chance the offenders took. In that frame, the girls stood up from the bench and headed north. They intended a quick visit with a friend. They did not intend a ride. The vehicle and the men inside created the moment. The last reliable view placed the girls within sight of that side street as the day fell toward dinner. The file used these hours to fix what could be fixed. It did not write romance into routine. It held simplicity close. Two teens walked a familiar path. They followed rules that keep most kids safe. They crossed with a vehicle and two adults who had practiced routes and pull-offs. Minutes did the rest. When the unit read this chapter out loud in the squad room, the last line on the board stayed clean. The girls did everything the city teaches. They walked in daylight, together, on a short route. The burden sits on the men who used a van and a practiced move. That clarity guided every later step. The families read the same chapter with a detective and an advocate at their table. They asked whether any earlier call or watch could have changed the day. The detective said the record did not support the idea that anyone in the neighborhood failed to act. He showed how the times fit together. He showed the run from the bench to the canal. He said the offenders chose a moment that could only be seen in the rearview. He did not soften the truth. He kept it steady. The chapter closed with a printed timeline that fit on one page. School dismissal. Corner bench confirmed by two eyes. Turn onto the side street. A slow vehicle that more than one person remembered. Home calls. Patrol canvas. Morning discovery. The block of hours had shape now. It would carry the case through the final steps and keep names, dates, and movements anchored where they belong. The week after the names were said, the unit turned to paper. A release plan listed what the law allowed and what it protected. Families saw the packet first. It used plain language. It showed the route, the lab steps, and the match reports. It listed what remained unknown. The office logged every request from the public. A clerk tracked who asked for photos, who asked for the press packet, and who asked for audio from briefings. Redactions covered private numbers and home addresses. The aim was balance. Tell the story with facts. Guard the pieces that could harm people who had helped. Property staff ran a final audit on the box. Seals read clean. Garments sat in fresh sleeves. Extracts sat frozen with printed temperature logs. Bullets and fragments held their labels. The ledger matched scans from years past. The clerk initialed the page and wrote the date. The box returned to its shelf. The lab wrote a closeout memo for this phase. It recorded which surfaces still held value for future tools. It named the zones that had given the two profiles. It named the zones that had given nothing. It set a reminder to revisit the case when a new method reached the bench. The date to check again went into a calendar. Detectives listed the facts that would not change. Two girls left school in daylight. A white van had been seen near the route more than once. The canal bank showed setdown, not struggle. Cause of death was gunshot wounds. The first profile matched Robert Clark Keebler. The second profile matched Lawrence Stein. Both men were dead before the day the office spoke their names. They also wrote the limits. No weapon had surfaced. No plate had held through time. The file did not fix who drove. The exact location of the killings stayed unknown. The record did not tie the case to a wider series by proof. The list of limits sat beside the list of facts. The file kept both in view. Interviews did not stop. A few tips still held threads. A salvage note matched a grill nick from a family photo. A dump scale line said a morning after in June with a partial plate in the right series. None of that wrote a charge. It added shape around what the lab had said. Detectives logged each piece with the same slow care. The prosecutor filed a short report that explained exceptionally cleared. He wrote that the standard for court had been met. He wrote that no trial would follow because both men were dead. He advised that the office would still take calls and still test new tools against preserved items. The report carried no flourish. It carried weight. The unit met with a small group of local teachers who wanted to place plaques near the bench. Staff gave a map that showed the corners where people had last seen the girls. They asked the group to keep the plaques small and to set them low. The teachers agreed. Names would sit at the height where students could touch them on the way to class. A records researcher drove to a county office to check microfilm for light checks on US 27. One entry got a flag because of its date and the plate series. It still lacked a name. It still supported the window the route work had built. The researcher scanned the frame and added it to the packet with a note on strength. Helpful and not decisive. Cold case staff wrote a training page for new officers. It used this file as a model. Paper for cloth. Signed seals that crossed the seam. Open shelves with air. Audits you can read out loud. Clean blanks at the lab. Repeats by new hands. No rush to name. Once named, no stretch beyond the proof. Families asked what would happen to the evidence in years to come. The clerk answered. The box would not purge. The lab would hold frozen extracts under logs. The digital vault would keep copies of every run and every photo. The office would check in again at set intervals. The detective promised calls even when the word was no change. Reporters circled back with the same question. Was this linked to other killings near water in that era? The office kept the same answer. Some traits overlapped. Some did not. The file did not prove a single hand across multiple cases. The report on links stayed short and plain so later readers would not add weight where none belonged. The families asked about next steps on the second name. Detectives had already built a path through shops, rentals, and routes. They would keep at it. They would keep interviews tight to dates and places. They would avoid stories that feel right and fail under record. The families nodded. They had lived with false certainty. They did not want it now. A quiet visit took place at the canal near dusk. No cameras came. A deputy kept the road clear. People said the girls' names and stood in silence while trucks hissed by. The detective pointed once at a pull-off north of the slope. He said the time it takes to nose in and face out. He said the noise makes the first seconds easy. He said nothing more. The office issued one more release. It invited anyone with photographs from 1975 that showed white vans in certain lots to send scans. It asked for dates written on the backs of prints. It asked for any sticker shapes on rear doors. Responses trickled in. A few images carried details worth logging. A few added nothing. All got a receipt and a thank you. The unit closed the active board and moved the case to a shelf for named offenders who would never see court. The move did not end the work. It ended the part with weekly briefings. A single page now hung near the duty phone. If a call came on this case, the page told the next shift who to wake and where the box lived. A school assembly gathered under a roof that held back summer heat. Students learned a short set of rules. Walk in pairs. Trust your sense. Ask for a name before you go near a car. Step back if any driver wants you close to a window. Go to a doorway and call for help if you feel watched. The rules sounded old because they work. The rules carried the girls' names without saying them. The lab ran one last check on a low signal near a pocket where the second profile had echoed. The repeat gave the same thin rise. It matched the second name again. The lab left the zone alone after that. The signal had spoken. More cutting would buy nothing. The sheriff signed a letter to the property staff. It thanked them for the scene with the old ink and the habit of clean shelves. The letter went in a frame on a wall near the vault door. New hires passed it every morning. The chapter ends with what the file now holds and what it does not. It holds two names and the science that supports them. It holds a route that a team can drive in minutes with a van and a plan. It holds a canal bank that tells set down, not struggle. It does not hold a weapon. It does not hold a plate. It does not state who drove. It does not link the case to a larger story by proof. The record stands where it should stand. The last chapter will return to the families, the city, and the long wait that taught people how to carry truth when a courtroom will never speak it. The press day came and passed. The building grew quiet again. The file did not change its weight. It held two names and the steps that fixed them. The work shifted from daily calls to scheduled checks. Detectives visited both families in living rooms where framed photos faced the light. They laid out a simple packet. Timeline. Scene. Chain. Lab method. Two match reports. One page for limits. One page for next steps. They answered questions without hurry. They wrote down anything that needed a follow-up. A week later, a small group returned to the canal at dawn. Trucks hissed by. Reed tops leaned in the breeze. The detective pointed once to the pull-off and once to the slope. He spoke about the set-down marks and the heel prints that faced opposite ways. He kept his voice level. He stopped before the road swallowed the words. The office recorded every new tip that arrived after the names went public. Photos from old drawers. Notes from shop ledgers. Mentions of sticker shapes on rear doors. A few items fit the map by date and place. Most sat as context. Each entry took a receipt and a quiet thank you. The file grew in order, not in size alone. Property staff ran one last line-by-line check on the ledger. Seals read clean. Labels faced out. Extracts stayed frozen under logs. Bullets and fragments kept their numbers. The clerk initialed the page and wrote the date. The box slid back into its range between two markers. The lab wrote a final memo for this phase. It listed the garment zones that held value for future tools. It listed what gave no signal. It stated what had been consumed under plan and what remained sealed for later reviews. It set a review date 2 years forward. It pinned that date in the calendar. The unit put lessons on paper for the next crew. Use paper for cloth. Sign across the seam. Audit the vault on a schedule. Freeze extracts and print logs. Keep blanks quiet. Run repeats under fresh hands. Hold names until the stack stands tall. Speak limits out loud when pressure rises. A school group installed two small plaques near the bench. Names in simple letters. No speeches. A teacher read a short note about walking together, asking for a name before going near a car, and stepping to a doorway if a driver pressed for quiet talk. The rules sounded plain. They were meant to be. Reporters came back months later with long questions about links across years and roads near water. The office stayed inside facts. Some traits overlapped other cases. Some did not. The file did not prove a single hand across a wider field. The lab packet said why. The public line matched the packet. A record search pulled one more image from microfilm. A light check on US 27 in June. A plate series that fit a fleet. No driver named. The note entered the file as supportive and not decisive. The map did not change. The route still fit in minutes with a van and two people who knew when a shoulder hides motion under road noise. Families asked what late justice meant when no trial would ever open. The detective answered without varnish. It meant proof had a name on it. It meant the record would not drift when those who had lived through the first weeks moved on. It meant the girl's story would be told with steps, not with rumor. Years had taught the office not to promise what the file did not hold. The weapon had never surfaced. The exact site of the killing stayed unknown. The driver role stayed open. Those lines lived in the packet next to the proofs. They would stay there. A young analyst joined the lab and asked to see the cloth under low light. A supervisor set the garment on clean paper and brought the lamp across at a shallow angle. The ribbed band on the shoulder rose again. The analyst measured the pitch for practice and read the old numbers back from the memo. The bench felt like a bridge across time. The sheriff signed a letter that thanked property staff by name. The letter hung near the vault door above a small shelf with clean pens. New hires passed it on the way to their first audit. They learned the habit that saves cases before they learn the names of the cases. Detectives kept a quiet list of records still worth chasing. A dump scale book in a county storehouse. A yard card with a broken staple that might hold a second page. A payroll ledger with a week torn out. None promised a turn. All kept faith with the file. At the canal, a family member visited on a Sunday morning and set two small flowers at the edge of the slope. A deputy rolled by and slowed for a moment and then moved on. The water lay flat. The road laid down its steady sound. The place held what it had held since the first day. A short stop on a route someone had practiced. Inside the unit, the board now carried three lines under the case title. Facts that stand. Limits that remain. Tasks if new tools arrive. The list looked spare. That was honest. The heavy work had been done. The rest would wait on time and method. The file had started with a phone call and a walk down a block in heat. It had crossed a canal bank where the ground said delivery, not struggle. It had spent years in a room where air moved and seals faced out. It had met a lab that read cells thin as dust. It had named two men with proofs that survived repeats and audits. It had returned names to families who had waited half a century. Late justice did not feel like triumph in those rooms. It felt like weight set down level. It felt like paper closed with a seam that would still read true when someone opened it years from now. It felt like the right words spoken once in public and then kept on the page where they belong. The last act of the unit for this phase was small. The detective placed a copy of the timeline in the front of the binder. He slid the binder into a sleeve. He wrote a short line on the inside cover. Two girls. Two names. Proof in the record. He signed and dated it in a steady hand. The story stayed with the city in quiet ways. A locked door checked twice. A wave to a neighbor's kid from a porch. A lesson given in a classroom with names spoken plainly. The case had not rebuilt the world. It had said what happened with care that would last. That care was the point. The long wait ended with a truth that fit the evidence and nothing more. The families carried that truth forward. The office kept the box ready for any tool the future sends. The canal stayed at the edge of the map. The road kept its noise. The record held.